Let the church say amen. I know the crowd is sparse this morning, but you sounded like a full audience this morning. Thank you to Brother Miles for giving us those spirited songs about Jesus. And thank you for lending your voices this morning, that we may sound full even though we may not be full. But I hope we're full of the Holy Spirit and that we're full of the love of God. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from Luke chapter 19. I want us to concentrate on verses number 5 and verse number 6. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Let the church say amen for the reading of the scriptures. This morning we want to talk from a simple subject, don't wait, make haste. I don't know if any of you have ever lived in the country and have an older parent or grandparents, but I remember my grandmother used to say many times, boy, go over there, make haste and go over there. So she completely cut out the H in the word and just had A-S-T-E. So I figured out that she meant hurry up and do what I told you to do. So this morning, that's where I'm going to be looking at what we're going to talk about, hurrying up and making a decision. So let us go to God in prayer for a moment here now. O Lord, our God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for bringing us into the new year. We thank you for giving us a peep into this year. And Father, we pray that we have this full year to make things better with you and make things better with ourselves and with our fellow man. Thank you, O Lord, for blessing us to be able to come out to your house this morning. And Father, never mind about the snow, for we live in an area where snow comes, and we should never be surprised about the snow that we get. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, and bless those who came out to serve you, Lord, today in spirit and in truth. We thank you for our leadership here and their families. We pray and thank you for the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far and for all of those who shall take part in the services from this point on. We pray and thank you and pray for the sick and the shut-in this morning, that if it be thy will, that your will be done in their lives, and if it's healing, we pray for their healing. But if not, Father, let your will be done. We thank you this morning, Father, for all of those who made it out and made it the trek through the snow to get here. Father, we thank you for those who serve our every need, those who we call upon in emergencies, those that we call upon when we're sick and shut in, those that we call upon when we're just standing in the need of things, O Lord, earthly things. And we thank you for always being there for our prayers as well, O Lord. Thank you, Father, for the political leaders in this world that we live in. We pray that they not make any rules and regulations that would harm our worship to thee, O Lord. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the soldiers and the troops all over the world that are guarding and protecting our freedom and the freedom of others. We pray and ask you to watch out and watch over those people, O Lord, who have lost loved ones, especially those who are members of the body, O Lord. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all you do for us. And it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, we all say amen. The last time I stood before you, we talked about a future event, which was this new year. This time, we're talking from the beginning of the new year, and we're in the present, and the new year is not in future tense, but present tense right now. So don't wait this morning, make haste. A call to actions indicates something, someone or something is in need of our attention. People many times tend to favor no action as a decision, rather than to make a decision. We often hide out from the truth. We say, if I don't decide and make a decision, this is how I will answer. When it comes to our soul salvation, we need to learn that there are decisions that need to be made and actions are needed to be taken when it comes to our responsibilities towards spiritual matters. In our text, we find Jesus required Zacchaeus to hurry up or to make haste and come down, for he wanted to spend time at his house. So I ask the question this morning, what kind of reception or response would we have if Jesus wanted to come to our house? Would we offer some excuse or simply find a reason to put him off? Or would we make haste as was told to Zacchaeus? There are several things we should take quick action on and not wait. The first thing we should make a decision on is our salvation. One thing in life that we need to take immediate action regarding is our salvation. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2, "For he says, acceptable at the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the day of salvation." That's from the New American Standard Version, so your version may read a little bit different. We should allow this to be a priority in our lives. Today should be the day that we take action. Why? Because yesterday is gone, tomorrow is not promised, and all we have is today. All we have is today because none of us know where or what we may be tomorrow. Grace shall one day no longer be ours. We are told in Proverbs 27, and the verse is number 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou know not what a day may bring forth." We often map out the things that we plan to accomplish in life. We say we want a new home. We say we want a new suit. We say we want to buy a new car. But far too few of us plan out for our soul's salvation. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 10, the Bible gives us some advice that we need to adhere to and get busy in our salvational planning. Brethren, it says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 10, "Brethren, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail." This means that we should be as certain as we possibly can, that we should be certain to practice and do what the Bible tells us to do so that we can make sure of getting into heaven. We must do some good work. We need to tell others about God. We need to attend church every Lord's Day. And I'm going to emphasize that word that I use there, every Lord's Day. We need to pray each and every day and night. We need to help others. All of these are good works. And you know, the church folk always like to talk about, "I'm doing something good." And sometimes I don't understand what we mean when we say we are doing something good if we're not doing the things that are what's considered to be good works. If you just meet somebody on the street and you tell them something about the Lord, that's doing a good work. If you tell somebody about the Bible, that's doing a good work. If you tell somebody, "I'll pray with you and for you," that's doing a good work. But just to say that you are good doesn't make you so good. It simply gives us your opinion about you. Then there's another thing that, look at the text, if you will, in verse number 5. Where the Bible says, "And when Jesus came to the place," look what he did. "He looked up and he saw him and he said unto him." So three actions Jesus took right there in that verse. He came to the place, he looked up, he saw him, and then he spoke to him. He said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house." And so I asked the question this morning, why do some people put off making decisions? Why do some people say, "I'm going to do something tomorrow," when they have all that they have is today? I'll tell you why. Many people are so keyed into the world that they are not concerned about their salvation. Paul speaks of one who loved this present world more than he loved the work of the Lord. The Bible is full of examples of people who were more interested in living wrong than living for the Lord. David was tempted by a bathing Bathsheba one day from his rooftop in 2 Samuel 11. The rich man who was so caught up in his riches that he forgot to help a beggar named Lazarus. Many people are nearsighted. They only see today's world. They walk by sight. But Christians are supposed to know, before I say they know, Christians are supposed to know that the Bible teaches us that we walk by faith and not by sight. This means we have hope for living in the hereafter. And we must learn and tell others the difference between walking by sight and walking by faith. Do you know the difference between walking by faith and walking by sight? If you don't know, you need to study your Bible a little bit more. Start telling them how the Word of God, which is the Bible, tells them about the origin of the Word. Teach them about the origin of the world. How that more than 40 writers took over 1,600 years to write the Bible. How that they lived in different times and under different circumstances and even different conditions. Yet they could not have chosen to have any meetings or conferences. And many of them lived thousands of miles apart. Yet all of them agreed without any arrangements or any arguments, because there are no contradictions in the Word of God. Now, we can't even get along for about an hour. We can't get along and we can't come to a consensus about the Word of God in a short Bible class. Many of us like to debate things in the Bible class. Many of us like to know everything about the Bible in the Bible class, but yet I don't see you doing what the Bible tells us to do. So none of these men and women who were the biblical writers, some of them didn't even know each other because they were inspired by God. God breathed into them what they needed to say. Most of them didn't even know each other, but yet no contradictions are found in the Word of God. And I know there are folk who will say, well, I can find some contradictions in the Word, but good luck in finding them. Somebody needs to know that we don't have to understand everything in the Bible, but we need to just simply believe it. You don't have to have a full understanding of everything, but you can learn what the Word of God means and believe what it says. In Acts chapter 24 and the verses number 14, somebody wrote, "So worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." Here in the year 2015, over 2,000 years have gone by since Jesus came to this earth, since he died to set us free. Everyone should know how to serve him, how to get to know him, and most importantly, how to prepare for his return. When I think about this man in the tree, and I look a little bit more into the text, here was in verse number 4, let's back up to verse number 3. Well, verse number 2, "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature." He was a short man. I can understand that. I can understand that he wanted to see Jesus. So what he did, he ran before and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him. And he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And look what the Bible says in verse number 6. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. He didn't hesitate. The Bible said he made haste. That means he hurried up and he came right down and he received him joyfully. So when the question comes up, how will you receive Jesus? Will you receive him joyfully? You know, we come to church every Sunday, many of us. We come to church because we say we love the Lord and we want to obey His commandments and we want to do His will. We come to church because we want to try to make it into heaven. Isn't that right, church? And when you try your best, sometimes your best just doesn't seem to be good enough. Sometimes our best just can't serve the will of the Lord. But you know what? When you think about it, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. We want to understand something this morning. We want to understand that making a decision about our salvation is not something we should take long in planning out because we don't know how long we've got. So the question becomes, why do we need to make a decision? Well, I'll tell you why we need to make a decision. Even better than that, I'll let the Bible explain to you why we should make haste and not wait. Because of two known facts, our sure death and the judgment day. And time is not going to wait on us. And if you don't believe it, go to Psalms chapter 90 and verse number 10, where the Bible says the days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. This tells us that our time is short, and yet even if we live to be age 70 or 80, it's usually not long enough for some of us. Sometimes we just delay and we procrastinate. In other words, we want to wait so long before we make decisions. Some of us say, I'll get prepared later on. Some of us say, I just need just a little bit more time. Some of us say, I'm not sure about it right now. Well, God already has assured you, if you read your Bible, what the sure things of this world, this religious world, and His Word is all about. God knows best for our lives, and God will direct us into, if we direct our path, we can follow Him. Even if we live those 70 or 80 years, many of us still will not be prepared. And one thing I can tell you that's for certain, Jesus is surely coming, and we are surely going to leave this world. In our text of Luke 19 and verse number 5 and 6 there, we notice what Jesus told Zacchaeus. He told him to make haste. He said, come down, for I must abide at your house. Jesus is going to one day come for this building we live in called our bodies. Without warning, he shall come as a thief in the night, according to Matthew chapter 24. It tells us to be ye also ready, for such an hour you think not that the Son of Man cometh. The text tells us how that Zacchaeus made his decision. The Bible said he made haste, or he hurried down from the tree and received him joyfully. For as Zacchaeus made his decision, even though many may not understand why Jesus would be a guest at the house of a sinner, Jesus explained it in Luke 19. Look at verse number 9 and verse number 10. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus wants to save all of us, but all of us are not going to allow Him to save us. For some of us are going to wait till it's too late to make our decision. This is 2015, and yet many of us are still waiting. We are still waiting to make a decision about our salvational planning. We are still waiting to try to come to the knowledge of Jesus. Many of us will say, I'm going to do it next year. That's what you said last year. Many of us will say, I'm going to wait until next month when I get more myself more together. But how many of you can promise yourself that you have next month? How many of us can say, I have until next year? Jesus is about saving those who are in need of saving. And that's why He told them people that Zacchaeus' house is where He was going, because He came to save. Look what He says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. So a little man who climbed the sycamore tree to get a look at the man who can save all of us if we but come to the right decisions. So I say this morning, don't wait. Make haste. Hurry up before and meet Him before it's too late. Allow this to be the year that you make a decision about your soul. Don't plan on waiting till next time, for there may not be a next time. Don't plan on waiting for a different message or a different messenger. It may not be here either. Even though we hope to be here, doesn't mean we'll be here. And certainly, don't plan on when you have the right feeling. When will you have the right feeling to serve, to make your mind up to serve and make a decision for God? When will you have a right feeling to say, I'm going to serve the Lord? I say the time is now. For that right feeling may never come. The time is near while the opportunity presents itself. So don't wait any longer, for Jesus may come by your house any day. So then the question becomes, will you be ready for Him? Will you be ready? You need to make haste and hurry and make a decision. The longer one waits, the further heaven becomes for us. Heaven is not a myth. Somebody said, I don't really believe in heaven. Well, heaven is not a myth. It is a real place prepared for people who have made a decision to follow the Lord. No tickets will be sold to get there. No getting by on our good looks. No sneaking in through the back door. The entrance can only be gained by serving the Lord. How many of us, I did it as a kid, when the shows, it only cost a quarter to get in, but I sometimes snuck in because I didn't have the quarter. But you can't sneak into heaven. You will not sneak into heaven. Don't all of us want to live in a place like that? You can increase your chance to get there by making the decision of following Jesus. So when I think about this little man who went up into a big sycamore tree, I think that there are some applications there for us. The applications are, whatever it takes to get to Jesus, you ought to try your best to get there. Whatever it takes to see Jesus, you need to try to do it in order to get there, to see Jesus. And look what he said once again, and said, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him. Jesus won't forget you. He said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for the day I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Now I got just a few more minutes here as I bring this to a close. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Well, Jesus knew what he was doing. And I never questioned Jesus. I don't know if you question him, but I never questioned Jesus, because the Bible has already laid out everything for us. So look at the text again in verse number 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. In other words, I'm restoring my brother to where I took from him. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also is the son of Abraham. And for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. Now I tell you something about Jesus. I'm not going to give Jesus directions. Jesus is going to give us directions. I'm not going to try to tell Jesus, Lord, you shouldn't go by and try to save him. Jesus already knows who he wants to save. I'm not going to tell Jesus how to do his work. I'm going to listen to what he tells me on how I should obey his will. So when I think about it, church, and when you think about it, don't you want to make a decision today? Is 2015 the year that you decide to obey the Lord? Is 2015 the year you decide to do the right things? Is 2015 the year that we see the board make a better recovery from 2014? There was something in the bulletin this morning about how many times I'm not going to tell you, you read the bulletin, how many times we made our goal. And then you do a little mathematical subtraction or mathematical computation, and you see how many times we made it versus how many times we did not make it. So I'm going to ask you in 2015 to let 2015 be a better year and for the year that you make a decision. Now I'm going to say this, and I don't mean any harm, but I'm going to say it anyway. Everybody that works probably got a raise this year, this last year. Did you raise your giving to the church? And even if you're on Social Security or you get a pension, you perhaps got a raise. Did you raise your offering to the church? And if you didn't last year, if you're on Social Security, you'll get a raise this year. It's already been announced. And I know what some say, it's not very much, but then you don't have to give very much, just give a portion of what you got a raise for, plus what you already gave. The church needs the help of everybody in the church. The church needs the help of everybody that attends the church. You know, you can sit around and talk and speak ill of the folks in the church, but the church is right. No matter what you say about the folk, the church is right. And one day, Jesus is going to come back for us. He's going to come back for his church. And how will you be standing when he comes back? How will you be in standing? Will you be in good standing? Or will you say, Lord, I was going to try to get better next time. Lord, I was going to try to get better in the later on. But once again, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring. So when you think on it, ask yourself this one question. If Jesus came today, how would he find me? How would he find me? Would he find me in good standing, or would he find me just lacking and in need of wanting, rather I should say? Would he find me lacking, or would he find me wanting? And I can't answer that for you. You must answer it for yourself. I'm not going to try to answer it for you. You need to make your own mind up about the question and answer the question yourself. You see, sometimes we need to take inventory of ourselves. We need to ask ourselves some hard questions sometimes. And we need to make sure we get an honest answer. Give ourselves an honest answer when we ask those questions. You know, I come to church. I'm going to speak about me for a moment here. I come to church because I want to try to get to heaven. I come to church because I want to do the will of the Lord. I don't come to church so you can see me. I don't come to church so I can see you. It's nice to see you, don't get me wrong. But I don't come to church for you. I come to church for me. And I come to church to serve the Lord. You ought to make up in your mind that you don't come for me, but you come for yourself, just like I don't come for you. And I know that sometimes the weather can be a hindrance because we live in this climate. But you should never stop coming to church because of the weather unless the church doors are not open. And then that's the decision that leadership makes. But I still tell you one thing. If the doors of the church open, you ought to stand there and push it or pull it to come on in. Be standing there to push it or pull it to come on in. Upon the first day of the week, you're supposed to be here. Now, this is the time of the year when we don't have our Wednesday night Bible class. So all we ask you to come is just one day a week. We just simply ask you to be here on Sunday morning so we can serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. And I realize I'm speaking to a minor audience this morning, not minor in who you are, but minor in the number. I'm speaking to a less quantity audience this morning. I know that there are many who are out because some are out of town perhaps. Some are just too lazy to be here this morning. Some just decided it's snowing out there, I'm going back to sleep. But it's still snowing whether you sleep or not. And when you get up and you decided to come on out to church, well, you did a good thing. You did the right thing. Because the church was here, the doors were open, the heat was on. And there were some of your brothers and sisters sitting and standing right here to meet you. But most of all, you come to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. So I ask you this morning, are you ready to meet Jesus? If He came by and said, I want to come to your house, would you be ready? Would you not wait? Would you hasten and hurrying up and try to meet Him and make a decision? Or would you simply say, Lord, I'll do it tomorrow? That's the decision, the question that I'm going to leave on your minds this morning. And hopefully you'll have an answer. If you haven't met Him yet, you come to Him by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. If you have met Him, but you've walked astray, and we go through this each and every time I stand up here, if you haven't met Him yet, or if you have met Him, but you've walked astray, you need to come back by asking Him for forgiveness of whatever your shortcomings may be. Ask the church to pray with you and for you that you may grow stronger as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 356.